All right, Sunday I preached a message about there's no substitute for the truth, and there is not. There's no substitute. Nothing else will do. There's nothing that can replace the truth. Nothing that can stand in for the truth. The truth is the truth, and truth is from our Lord. Of course, we deal with things in life that are true or not. Sometimes, as you know, as we live in this life, there's some things, sometimes we just don't understand what the right thing is, what the truth about a matter is. We may not have all the facts. We may not have all the details to make a judgment about the truth. We should always try to, and we should desire that and pursue that. We have an obligation to do so. We know our Lord always knows the truth, and let us know this, that our Lord, by virtue of His Holy Spirit, lives within us. And so we have that as the Lord's children, and the Lord's children in one of His churches, we have the advantage and blessing of that, that the Holy Spirit of God that knows the truth about everything does live within us. In that message, I left you with a verse in 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. I want to go back to that passage. And let's consider on about this of truth and how that applies to us here living in this time, you and I, members of Olmsted Baptist Church, and what the truth, what the responsibility is that we have. 1 Timothy 3, verses 14 through 16, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." There in verse number 15, we see that the house of God is the church of the living God. Miranda, go get me a bottle of water, please. The house of God is the church of the living God, and it is the pillar and ground of the truth. I'm going to throw another cough drop in there. Maybe that'll work. We, Olmsted Baptist Church, are His house here. Again, we see this in 1 Timothy 3:15, that the house of God, it's one way the church is referred to, which is the church of the living God, is the pillar and ground of the truth. We are His house here in this place. You and I have been saved by the Lord and added to this assembly, to this church. We are His house here. In Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25, let's read here and see what we have. A familiar passage with you, I know. But in verse number 19 in Hebrews 10, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil," that is to say His flesh, what Jesus did for us in His flesh and accomplishing His gospel for us. Verse 21, "and having an high priest over the house of God." He is our high priest. He is the great high priest. He is our Savior. He's our everything, indeed, as we've seen recently. And we see this reference here over the house of God. You know the rest. "Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith." Draw near where? Draw near unto the Lord and unto His work that He's called us into. "Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised." He's faithful. We need to be faithful. "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good works." Verse 25, "not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, That meeting together of the children of God in his churches to worship, we're very familiar with that. We refer to that often. As the manner of some is, there are those that don't assemble, and we need to assemble, but exhorting one another to assemble, and as we assemble, to encourage one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. And I think either the Lord's Day, the time of worship, or even the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, we could certainly apply there. So here we have a high priest. We have a high priest over the house of God. Our Lord Jesus is in his churches, and he's in Olmsted Baptist Church. He lives within us, and he's made us promises, so many promises that we have that we need to look to and we need to claim and we need to have in us. In this work that he's called us to do. Olmsted Baptist Church, you and I, we are his house here. Olmsted Baptist Church is his house here. And our Lord is superintending over this work. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 5. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 5. Ye also as lively stones. And we can see that. That picture of a one building, a mason building with stones to build a structure. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. We are his spiritual house. It is a spiritual work. It is physically carried out by us in these bodies and in our lives. But we are his house here, and we have a responsibility, as we've seen in our text here in 1 Timothy 3:15, the house of God, which is the church of the living God, is the pillar and ground of the truth. We are that, whatever that is, pillar and ground of the truth, that is what we are right here in our little part of the world. It says here, as the scripture says, this pillar and ground of the truth. What is this pillar and ground? What's that speaking about? Well, this word pillar, if we take a look at it in the Greek, is speaking about a post. We understand about putting a post in the ground, to put up a mailbox, to put up a bird feeder, or put posts in the ground to build a fence. Okay? So the house of God, which is the church of God, is this post, this pillar, this support upon which the truth is on. It is, the truth is here. And see, and hear how the Lord speaks this and tells us about this. His church, not another organization, not another institution made by men, but his church in this time, in this New Testament church age, that's the reason it's referred to, part of the reason it's referred to that way, is the support, the pillar, the post of the truth. That's the way I envision it. And think of it in my mind, the picture of it, the truth, the body of truth. What is it? Whatever it is, the Lord's church is the support of that. The support of that so it will not fall to the ground. And understand the truth, what a brother said years ago, you can take the truth, you can kick it, stomp it, tromp it, fold it, spindle it, mutilate it, and it's still going to be the truth. You can't unravel the truth. Now, people can misrepresent the truth. People can lie about the truth. People can say the truth is something else other than it is. But the truth of God is established by God, and it can't be changed because the truth is bound up in and is his word. We see this word ground here, the pillar and ground of the truth. This is what the house of God is. This is what the church of the living God is. And it's speaking about this house and this church in the institutional sense as we are being taught about this. This word ground is talking about a support. A support. And we understand about supporting something. If you've ever built any kind of thing, you're working on something, and as you put it together, maybe those that would be putting together walls to build a house, they have to put some supports there to hold the wall up, to get the wall plumb, to get things square, get it tied into the other wall. We can understand about supporting one another. One of us might be injured, or the feeble might need to be supported as they're helped up the steps. To to bear under, to support, to keep one steady on a ladder. We understand about that, and that word support. And that's what this ground is speaking about, a support. And so, if you will, again, the way that I think about this in my mind is that the church, the house of the living God, is that pillar and ground, that support. So not only is this pillar here and is settled and founded, but there's a support here also at hand. This is the church, and the truth lays there on top of that. And that's what the Lord's churches are called unto. Something that is good for us to understand and know and to consider. And I never had fully understand and considered it fully to this extent as I'm going to relate to you now. But understand this. Our Lord has always left His Word, His truth, with one of the institutions that He has founded. Our Lord has always left His Word, His truth, with one of the institutions amongst mankind that He has ordained. Let's go back all the way to the beginning in Genesis chapter 2. There at the creation. And in verses 18 and 19, the scripture says, "And the Lord said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof." He named them all. Well, in this passage here in verses 18 and 19 of Genesis chapter 2, this is the first place where Adam's name is mentioned. The reference in verse 18 to him is the man. The man should not be alone. Verse number 19, and then he's referred to by his name, Adam, and he brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. Understand that that word in the Hebrew for man, that word in the Hebrew for Adam's name is one and the same. When you say in Adam, you say in man. And when you say in man, the name of that, used as a name, is Adam. And so when the Lord instructed Adam as he did, we see in verses 15 through 18, earlier in the chapter, just above where I read, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make an helpmeet for him." See, God gave His word unto Adam, the word that we needed, the word that Adam needed, the command, one command, to abstain, to stay away and not eat of that tree. He gave it to this man for the sake of this man and his family, and his household, and his family. And see, if things would have continued on, and Adam had not eaten of the tree, and his wife would not have eaten of the tree, and then some children would not have eaten of the tree, the command was for everybody right on down the line. But what happened was, is woman ate of the tree, being beguiled, as the scripture tells us, and then Adam willfully ate of the tree. It didn't even get opportunity to get to the second generation, did it? Adam he's referred to as our federal head. We need to think of Adam and understand Adam in this way. He is the father of all of our family. He's the father of the human race. And so when God first spoke a word to mankind, He gave it unto our daddy. All of us. Of one blood, the Lord has made all the nations, and that is Adam. And so in that, the institution of Adam and his household, his family, of which we were all descended, God gave His word not in the middle, not at the end, but he gave it at the beginning to our federal head, to our father, the father of our human race family. So in that, the Word of God, when it first came, it was given to that institution of the family, and it was given to the head of that to take that and pass that on and to observe that in that institution of the family. Next, we see in Romans chapter 3 that the Word of God in time, when it came, when the Lord began to expand, and as we see, as time comes on and the Lord continues to reveal more and more of what He's doing, and we can, from Adam on down, we see the Lord dealing with different men and different families and such as that. We see in Romans chapter 3, this point, in Romans chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, what advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? The apostle writes, much in every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. So when God began to speak and expand more upon His Word and His law, what did He do? He gave the law, the Word of God, to Moses for Israel. That was the next step in the Lord giving His Word to mankind. We still have that Word today in what we call the Old Testament. And where was it held? Where was it committed unto? Well, that second institution of His nation, the institution of government. And understand, it is good for governments to not be godless. Sin is a reproach to any nation. But this government, the Lord's nation, was a repository for the Word of God. And from there, the Jews had that advantage in having the Word of God first, and then it was preserved and kept in that until we come to the time that you and I live in, when the Lord Jesus became a man. And now, as we've taken a look here in our text in 1 Timothy 3, the repository, the place of holding, the pillar and ground of the truth of God is here in His institution of the church. His institution of the church, which is manifested by His churches the world over. Now understand, everything that calls itself a church is not one of the Lord's churches. There's all kinds of different churches. But we're talking in this biblical context of those that are the Lord's, those that have been built by Him. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. Listen to how Brother Peter writes, and his epistle is called a general epistle, but the thing, there's nothing general about it. It's not generally for the children of God. It's in particular for the children of God. And Peter is a church man. He's a man that is called into the church, an apostle of the Lord in his churches. And amongst his churches. And so this word comes to us. And it says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 21, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables. Now, Babylonian mythology and Assyrian mythology and pagan gods of all the East and of the North and all that, they have cunningly devised fables. He says, we've not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. And what did they do with that? They wrote it down. They were inspired of God to write it down, our brethren were. Verse 17, for we received from God the Father, for He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. In this writing here, in 2 Peter 1:17, Peter doesn't mention everything that the Father said. I think it's understood and it's known and it's certainly known and implied. But remember what it says in Matthew and Mark and Luke in this account of the Transfiguration. That's what he's referring to. It says in Mark 17:5, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, Peter was speaking, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, "This is my beloved Son." So who's speaking? The Father. "In whom I am well pleased, hear ye him." And what do we hear? We hear words. We hear the word. We hear the speech. And the Father says, "Listen to my Son. Follow him." And so Peter, back in 2 Peter 1, 17, he said, there came a voice speaking words. And continuing in verse number 18 of 2 Peter 1, "And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mountain." What do? They wrote it down. They wrote down that word. He says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, the word of God, the testimony of God unto us, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place." That is what the truth, the word of the Lord is like a light that shines in a dark place. "Until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, you believe it, you receive it, you're illuminated by it. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture," and so he makes the connection, this is Scripture, what we have written down, what we have been given. "No prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation." They can't mean to you. We've all run into folks. Maybe we've taken that position in time of our life. Said, "Well, if that's what the Bible means to you, then great. But it doesn't mean that to me." Well, I tell you what. It means what God says that it means. That's what it means. It means what the Lord has instructed us in it. Not our private interpretation, but what our Lord has said in his word. "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man." So now we find out about this word. It didn't come by Peter's desire or will or John's or Paul's, but it came by holy men of God's. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Spirit of God. That's how we have the Word of God and His truth. We have it from Him, and it has been given as in repository to His churches in this day. Peter says, we. And Peter is an apostle of the Lord in that first church and amongst the churches in the time of his life. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 through 18, listen to what he says here. "Wherefore, beloved," 2 Peter 3, verse 14, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, the coming of the Lord. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him." Listen to what he says here. The Scripture says, Paul also, along with us, he too, the wisdom of the Lord given to him, and the wisdom of the Lord given to us, "even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you." And those writings have become the Scripture, the Word of God, "and as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest," they twist and fight and wrangle against the Scripture. That's what that word rest is speaking about. Just don't want to submit to it, will not receive it. Have you ever met anybody like that? Maybe it was the case that you and I, before the Lord saved us, we were diabolical against the Scripture, just wanted nothing to do with it. No, I don't want to hear that. We know of people that feel that way and operate that way about it. He says, Paul and his writing and his epistles, he says, some things hard to understand, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other Scriptures. He said, what Paul has written is the Scripture, and what the other Scripture, the Old Testament Scriptures, and the other brethren have written is the Scripture. He says they rest against that unto their own destruction. Verse 17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. How? Quit listening to the Lord. Quit listening to His Word. Quit hearing the Lord and understanding that what He has spoken and what He's given unto us in His Word, in the Bible, is the absolute truth. The truth that we need. The truth that we have. But grow in grace. But grow in grace, He declares. He admonishes, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to feed upon His Word that we might learn more about all that He has told us and given us. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And so here we see about how in the New Testament Scriptures were given by the writing of the apostles and the writing of like Brother Luke and Brother Mark, also used to bring those Gospels unto us. And Peter and John and Paul, used of the Lord to bring the Word. And where was all this done? It was done in the midst of the churches. It was done in the midst of the churches, given to the churches. And we are His pillar and ground of the truth in this. So this being the case, and where you and I, where we find ourselves now, so how is it that we're to be the pillar and ground of the truth? It's one thing to understand what the Lord has said that we are as a church, but how is it that we do that? How is it that we are a pillar and ground of the truth? Are we a pillar and ground of the truth of God just for ourselves? Or is there a purpose? Is there a work? Is there a mission to be accomplished? You know, Adam was given the Word of God that he might tell all of his family. Israel was given the Word of God, and we know in the plan and work of the Lord was given that all the world might know who God is. And now, certainly, since we've come and we find ourselves in this church age, everything about the church is not inward. There is an inward operation and an inward purpose and keeping of self, as speaking as a church. But the greatest operation of the church is outward to others. And so, how are we to be this pillar and ground of the truth? Well, it starts with the commission that we have given to us by our Lord Jesus. Very familiar in Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. It says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. I don't want to be a doubter. I don't want to be a doubter. I want to be a believer and a worshiper, don't you? We are subject to doubt. And you know what? When we're subject to doubt, we get our eyes off the Lord. We get our eyes off of His Word. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. How is it that we can be, are to be, and can accomplish being this pillar and ground of the truth for the purpose that the Lord has given His Word? Well, we find it right here. Teaching all nations of their need of Christ Jesus. What greater truth does a soul need? What greater truth does a soul need than to know about their need, the eternal need of their soul, of Christ Jesus? And that teaching all nations that their need of Christ Jesus, it leads to a myriad of several other things that we look at in other messages. But then it says here, how are we to be the pillar and ground of the truth? To teach all nations the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and their need of Christ Jesus and all things related to that. And there's things that come in and feed that. And it says here to baptize them that believe. You know, there's a truth about baptism. And there's a bunch of falsehood about baptism out in the world. There has been and is and will be. But we've got the truth about it. We're the pillar and the prop of that message of the gospel and the need of sinners. We're the pillar and the prop of that, what baptism is and all things connected to baptism. And then to teach them to observe all things. There's where we learn how to serve, where we learn how to worship, where we learn how to walk with our Lord. In the church, as an individual child of God, teaching them to observe all things that our Lord has commanded. And what do we teach? We're to teach the truth. The truth about the need of the soul. The truth about what baptism is and means and is the purpose for. And that they might enjoin themselves to the church having been saved. And to teach them to observe all things that Jesus has commanded. Not what Jim has commanded, but what Jesus has commanded. And we're the pillar and the prop of that. You won't be able to go out in the world and find it anywhere else. At another church you will, one of the Lord's churches, but otherwise it's not going to be there in its fullness and completeness like it's been given to us. So Lord willing, we're going to look to expand upon this in future messages. But in conclusion, we, Olmsted Baptist Church, are the pillar and ground of the truth. We are, Olmsted Baptist Church is the pillar and ground of the truth right here in this region in southwest Logan County, Kentucky. Here we are. And what are we going to do about it? We're the pillar and prop of the truth. We've got it. We've got it. And we need to do what our Lord would have us to do with it. Understand, we don't have to figure out if others are so. We don't have to figure out if an organization down the road is or not. We don't have to figure out about what's going on with them. We don't have to figure out if we're going to have any help in being the pillar and prop of the truth from others in the world. We don't have to figure that out either. We just have this given unto us. We need to understand that there is no other institution to take our place if we fail or cower back. There's no other organization of mankind that will step in and do the job. We only have to do what our Lord Jesus has given us to do among this crooked and perverse generation amongst which we live. To be, it's given unto us as the Lord's church here at Olmsted Baptist Church to be the voice bearing the truth regarding all things which He teaches us. And we've got great promises about what the Lord will teach us and show us. I think that there is indeed biblical sense and understanding that we can have, and I think that the Spirit of God will help us and certainly able, but will help us to understand about things going on in the world and in life. Because who knows the truth about everything? The Lord does, and He lives within us. And I believe that we can seek His face to understand what the truth is, and that we might be a voice, the voice bearing the truth regarding all things that He teaches us. If He doesn't teach us anything, we need to have no opinion about it. But if He does, we need to speak forth what it is. And so, Lord willing, we'll touch on more things in future messages. I like this that it says in Acts 13:36. It's kind of, this is the thing, this verse got my attention some years ago, and it's just nestled right in here in Stephen's message. I believe that's Stephen that's preaching there. And it says here in Acts 13:36, for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God. Isn't that interesting? David was king. David was the one that, when you think of a king, you think about the king being served, don't you? Don't you think about the king being served? But here, Under the inspiration of the Word of God, Brother Luke writes for David after he had served his own generation by the will of God. And that's what you and I have to do, to serve our generation by the will of God. As his church, as a member of his church here at Olmsted Baptist Church, to do our part and be in that pillar and that ground of the truth. The pillar and the ground of the truth is not the building and not the property. It's not our finances. It's not our resources. It's us. Fitly joined together, built into this house. And may God help us, may our Lord help us, that we would serve our own generation by the will of God and stepping up to what the Lord has given us in this. Serve our Lord and our own generation by the will of God. If you're here and you're not saved, you need the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other Savior but Him. And we point you to Him. Repent of your sins and believe and trust in Him, in His death, burial, and resurrection for the salvation of your soul. To the carnal man, to the unsaved, to the those that are dead in trespasses and sins, it sounds like a bunch of foolishness. But by the preaching, the very preaching of that gospel, that death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that truth, it has pleased God to save sinners like you and me. And so may we have confidence in that truth and go on and declare it. And people may look at us cross-eyed. They may do the big wow over eye move. They might do whatever, but may we just tell it plain. That salvation is only found in our Lord Jesus Christ. And do the work that our Lord has given us to do. So if you're not saved, we point you to our Lord Jesus. Receive Him, believe in Him, trust in Him, and we pray for your soul.